magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, August 31st, 2018, the last Friday in August, the last day in this month. We launch into September tomorrow. Wow. Unbelievable. Hey, are you ready for a double entendre?
Did you just learn that word?
I've never heard you use that before.
Yeah. A double entendre.
Yeah, I like that word.
Yeah, I like it. Two for one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about the Passover today, and I was thinking, yeah, last Friday we passed over it because, you know, we got on a different tangent or something. So I was like, double entendre.
Ba-dum-bum.
So I'll begin with a reading out of Exodus chapter 12, as typically our pattern or our practice. Many a Friday, we've been going through this book of Exodus for many months now, I think a year plus, but we'll begin with the 14th verse of chapter 12 of Exodus. This is the day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Wow, a lasting ordinance. Oh, the Passover, a special time that many of us celebrate. Actually, the Jewish people, it's a part of their calendar.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that during the Easter time we're very mindful of. And yet it's a concept, it's a truth, it's a practice, it's something we should be aware of. Because, if you will, it's very layered. Even though it's practiced here in the Exodus for some specific reasons, I think you'll probably educate us on how we should be very aware of this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's something that, like you read, and I think it was very apropos. That's another good word, right? Apropos.
Yeah.
I see your double entendre and raise you an apropos. It's very apropos that you would have read that it is a lasting ordinance, which means it is to be conducted till the Lord decides that it is not to be conducted. And so every year at what we would traditionally call Easter time, the Jews celebrate Passover. And what Passover is the remembrance of this moment in the Exodus story, the saving grace of God who has come and he has instituted this Passover to allow his people to understand, to celebrate, to remember the fact that the angel of death has passed over, that this plague, this last tenth plague, this plague, the death of the firstborn, would not affect them nor would touch them. Ultimately, because God would take his firstborn amongst men, who is Jesus Christ, and he would save us through that. And so this is something that actually is kind of fascinating. Gosh, how many years now? Let me think. We're in Muhammad. This will celebrate 8 years this next year. No, we're in our eighth year right now. So next year, maybe next year is 9 years. Oh, gosh, I'm so bad with time. Remembering anniversaries and birthdays is hard enough.
Yes.
But 3 years? Three years before. So, gosh, we'd be like 10 years now at least. God really grabbed Tasha and my heart and moved us to begin to celebrate the Passover, to begin to mark out that day and host Passover meals. It was kind of funny. We had to laugh because the first Passover meal, we didn't even know what we were doing. I mean, I hobbled together something.
Now, this was for the church that you were serving
at the time? This ended up happening in my home.
Okay.
So we hobbled this thing together. We invited our friends. Some could come. Some couldn't come. At the end of the day, we got around a table in my house, and we attempted to do Passover the best we could, and we had 12 people there. Hmm. And we said, that's a biblical number, 12. All right. And it was a great night. We had a little tiny apartment, so we just crammed everybody in there. The next time we did the Passover...
And explain what the Passover was. You took them through the biblical account. You read some
stories. We took them through the biblical account, but we took them through, and we'll talk about this, we took them through the Seder, which is the ordered meal of the Haggadah, which is the ordered meal that the Jews take so that they can remember each part of the Passover. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I just wanted to give some backstory so that people didn't think I was kind of just trying to educate on the Passover. The Passover is something that we live every year. So we did the first one. We had 12 people. The next year, we kind of just threw it out to everybody we knew. We had to find somewhere bigger because we had 72 people. We said, wow, the 12, then the 72? Listen now, this is excellent. The next year, we did it at a place called Shore Acres down by the river in Chillicothe. It's owned by the Chillicothe Park District. It's a large room, an old antique building from the 20s. We had 144 people. So we went from the 12 to the 72 to the 144. My wife said, honey, might we feed the 5,000 next year? We never saw that number to fruition. But every year we have roughly 60 to 70 people who come now. I have intentionally always tried to keep it small and really asked people to come and then willingly given them all the materials so that they could then take it and do it in their church. Because I think the Passover is always best done in smaller than larger groups. It gets harder when you do it in larger groups. It becomes more of like a program or a show rather than a time to get together and to celebrate, to mark out this lasting ordinance that the Lord has. And so the meal that they take is called, you follow a thing called the Haggadah, which means order. And so it's an ordered meal, which means you walk through intentionally steps that teach you, that remind you. It's two-pronged, reminding those who are older and teaching those who are younger. That's one of the main focuses. I mean, I really love this practice of getting around the table and teaching younger kids about what it means to follow God, God's faithfulness to us historically. And it's kind of fascinating that other than my son Jacob, because he came along a little bit after we began to do this, all my children have grown up knowing the Passover as part of Easter. In fact, they're excited every year for the Passover. They love it. They love going out to get the matzah crackers and to make the manna, to make the bitter herbs, the salt water, to do all that kind of stuff. They absolutely love it. But this idea to remember, to remind, comes from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Melech Haolam. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. And what do you do with these words? You shall teach them diligently to your children. Mm-hmm. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the road, when you lie down, and when you rise. And so the idea of this meal is that you will talk about it with your children. You will share with them God's saving grace so that their interest might be piqued. They may be like, well, what is this God all about? And so at the Passover meal, you've got candles that we light. And each candle that you light is part of the movement. You've got candles and you've got cups. That's what I always tell people. And so the Passover begins with the lighting of the first candle. And Psalm 119 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we light the first candle so that we ask that Yahweh would illuminate this night and that he would give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and insight, that he would remind us of what the Passover means. And so the first thing you do is you light this candle and you say, Lord, I want you to illuminate for me the things that I have forgotten, the things that have grown dark. Isn't it fascinating that this is the first thing you do in a Jewish Passover, and Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. The next thing you do is we begin readings, the reasons why we celebrate. Remember, now you're a child, and you're sitting here and you're listening, and on this day it'll be for you a memorial, and you'll keep it as a feast to Yahweh throughout the generations, just as you read Mark. Then we go into Corinthians, and we say, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, as often, to remind us. Then we go to Corinthians again, Corinthians chapter 5. Purge out the old leaven that the new may come in. For even Yeshua, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, the malice and the wickedness, but with the new leaven of sincerity and truth.
Now, I might enter into the conversation here. This is the Seder meal that you've adapted, like the Jewish Seder meal, they wouldn't go to 2 Corinthians.
Go to those things. Over the years, every year, I rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. I'm probably at the point now where I'm pretty pleased with where we're at, because I believe we honor the lasting ordinance, but at the same time, we shed light. We cannot remember, because see, the Jews celebrate a Passover that is only being celebrated in part. And I want to say that gently and kindly. But what they only know in part, we know, as the Apostle Paul says, in full. We know that the light has come into the world, that the darkness cannot hide. We know Christ. And so the last reading that you do out of Revelation 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And so this idea that the Lamb has come, the table has been set, the bride is at the table, and the groom is willing to lavish upon her all of his love. And so we drink the first cup, the cup of sanctification. By the way, we only fill the cups up a little bit so you can make it through the Seder meal without having to go to the washroom. If you were in a Jewish household, these cups have wine in them. We use grape juice, but they have wine in them. So you can imagine by the time you reach the fifth cup, you're like, oh my gosh, you're ready to sing. That's the reason why it ends with singing. But we take the cup of sanctification. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our King, the King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, that we would drink this first cup of the Passover and remember that we're all in process. And then because we all come dirty, we all come a little messy, we do hand washing where we communally wash each other's hands. Mm-hmm. And so we wash each other's hands to prepare ourselves for the meal. In a Jewish Passover, that's very important because the cleanliness, the cleansing ritual is incredibly important to Judaism. And then we read the Exodus story, the first Exodus. I call it in mind the first Exodus. They would just call it the Exodus. But I believe it's the first because the second happened at the cross. And so the first Exodus, they tell the story. Why? Because there's children at the table who need to hear the story for the first time. There is also adults who maybe haven't heard the story or need to be reminded of the story. And so the story ends, the fourth reader would read, Moses reluctantly returned to the king of Egypt with Yahweh's message, let my people go. And then it says the plagues were directed against each of the gods of Egypt to prove that they had no power over Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And so then we take the second cup of the Passover meal, the cup of deliverance. Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let Yahweh's people go, even though Yahweh sent 10 plagues against the land of Egypt. This cup reminds us of those terrible plagues and the great cost the Egyptians suffered to see the deliverance of Yahweh's people. And so we take that to remember that. And then we talk about the plagues of Egypt and the fact that God said, I will defeat all the little g gods of Egypt. All these little things, all these little idols, these things that you attempt to worship, I am going to defeat every single one of them so that you have no choice but to see me, Yahweh, the King of the universe, the God of all things. And so we talk about that. We talk about the plagues. This is a great time for the kids. We have a circle, and they dip their finger into their cup, and they put a fingerprint in each one of these plagues to know with their individual, unique fingerprint that God had done this for them. And then they get to keep that as a souvenir. My kids love to put it on the refrigerator. I have four kids and not enough refrigerator space, so kind of a problem. And so then afterwards, they have four questions. Now, the interesting thing about this is because you're telling this story maybe to some for the first time, they're like, wait, what do you mean? Why did he do this? What did he do? Why do we do it this way? And the questions are centered around, why is this happening this way? And so the first thing, it says, on all other nights we eat bread with leaven. On this night, why do we eat only unleavened, the matzah? Why do we eat the matzah bread? And so we read back, and this is the bread of affliction, which we call matzah. It's like the bread the Israelites had in Egypt when they left in haste. But then, in our Passover that we do, we say, notice how it is pierced and bruised and striped. Right. Because Isaiah 53 says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. On him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his stripes we are healed. And so we take the three matzahs that are on the center of the table, and we pull out the middle matzah, and we break it. Why do we break it? Because Jesus was broken for us. And then we hide that matzah. They call that the hidden matzah. And just as Jesus was hidden in the grave, so is that matzah hidden. Later on, children will go and they'll find that matzah. I always tell people, please hide it in plain sight, lest you find your matzah years later. But they ask the questions. And they say, on all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. And this night, why do we only eat bitter herbs? Why do we only eat those bitter herbs? It reminds us of the bitterness of the slavery the Israelites had in Egypt. On all other nights, we do not dip our vegetables twice. Why on this night do we dip our vegetables twice? Well, we dip them in the parsley and the salt water to remind us of the tears that Israel cried. This is a fascinating piece of the Passover meal, isn't it? Because when Jesus takes a Passover meal in John chapter, 14, 15, 16, with his disciples. He says, whoever is going to do this thing, he's talking to Judas.
Yeah, do it quickly.
Yeah, he says, do it quickly. And then he says, he'll dip his bread into this cup. And what is the cup? Well, the cup of the Seder meal is water and salt to remind him of the tears of Israel. And so as Judas dips that bread in that cup, Jesus is essentially saying, I'm weeping because of what you're doing. I'm crying the tears of God at what you're about to do, even though it must be done. It's interesting to know that. The last one is read, on all other nights we eat sitting. Why tonight do we eat reclining? And the response is, on this night we recline because we are free. We are free from all the pharaohs, from all the things that seek to govern over us, seek to take us. And so then we take that cup of deliverance that we have not drank, and yet we only hoisted it in the air. Now we drink it because we know that we have been saved, that we have shed tears because of our slavery, that we have a Savior who has been bruised and afflicted, that he has stripes, we have been healed. We take that cup and we drink it confidently. And then we celebrate the Lamb. And on the Passover plate, in the Passover meal for the Jews, they have a piece of lamb that's on there. It says, the other remaining emblem on our Seder plate is the lamb shank bone. In Exodus 12:13, we read, the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when you see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. But no longer now does the lamb need to be sacrificed, friends. We give thanks for the blood of the Lamb of Yahweh, Jesus Christ, which takes away our sins and delivers us from death. And because of that, now we sing the song of the Passover, which is Deinu. Deinu means it would be sufficient. And so it's a beautiful call and response song where we say, had he not brought us out of Egypt and not destroyed our oppressors, it would have been sufficient. Had he destroyed our oppressors and their gods but not parted the Red Sea, it would have been, basically saying that any small action of God would have been sufficient. And yet he kept multiplying the blessings. He kept working in our lives. And then from there, we send the children out to find the hidden matzah, we call it the afikomen, and they go out and they find that, and they bring it back just as Jesus was found 3 days later in the grave, free from the binds of the grave. So we find that. And then what do we drink? We drink that cup of redemption, because we have been redeemed. This is a new covenant in my blood, 1 Corinthians 11:25. And so we drink this cup, a symbol for us in Christ, that he is our redemption, the blood of the Passover lamb, that we have drank it. And then we take some time, and we'll do this next week because of time, but there is a cup in the Jewish Seder meal, the cup of Elijah, and they call that the coming cup because they believe that the prophet Elijah has not come. In fact, in a traditional Seder meal, they open a door in the house so that the prophet Elijah would want to come in. He could come in to take the cup to drink it. We believe that the cup has already been drank and down to the bottom. In fact, Jesus on the cross drank that to the bottom, to the dregs, every last drop of it for us.
Is there a seat left open for him or something?
Just a cup.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if some would do a seat. I've never really heard of a seat, but it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in places where people are like, you know, well, this seat's for Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, you need two more seats. But two more in one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And so we'll talk next week about Elijah and the open door, and we'll talk about how Christ is Elijah. Christ is that figure in the Passover meal. And then finally, the final cup of the Passover meal that we take is a cup of praise. And the cup of praise is, it says, let us fill our cup for the fourth and last time tonight and give praise to Yahweh, our great Redeemer. After Yeshua ate and drank with his disciples, Scripture says that they sang a hymn. Oh, when we go to Israel and we walk and we're in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's one of the things I want to talk about with folks is, what did Jesus sing? When I read that passage, I go, what did he sing? Traditionally, at the Jewish Passover meal, Psalm 136 is sung. So then we go and we sing a portion of it together. And I love this when we do this at the Passover meals because, and I want to close with this, and it gets louder and louder and louder as we do it. Oh, give thanks to God, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does great wonders. His mercy endures forever by his wisdom made in heavens. His mercy endures forever. He stretched out the earth and the waters below. His mercy endures forever. It just keeps getting louder and louder. Who struck down the firstborn in Egypt? His mercy endures forever. Who brought Israel out among them? It gets louder and louder. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, who remembered us in our low estate, who redeemed us from our enemies. Give thanks to the God of heaven and earth. And by then people are like, his mercy endures forever. And then we then take that cup of praise that we've been holding up and we drink that down. And then we say, as they say in the traditional Passover, next year in Jerusalem. Although, as I shared at our Israel orientation the other night, Andrew Peterson writes this wonderful song called Maybe Next Year. He's talking about being in Jerusalem. He wrote this song last year when he was in Jerusalem and he was at the Western Wall. And the song is amazing. You know, and it says, you know, this is the place where Abraham took the boy. This is the place where Abraham took the boy and killed the ram instead. And this is the place where Jesus said, you can tear down the temple, but I'll raise it from the dead.
Hmm.
And it's powerful. But the line of the song is, borrowing from the Passover meal is not next year in Jerusalem. It's next year in the New Jerusalem.
The New Jerusalem.
And so that's something I'm going to add to my Passover meals, because while I think that that is awesome, next year in Jerusalem, might we take the Passover together in Jerusalem? I want to say to my friends, might we partake next year in the New Jerusalem.
The newness
that when God brings all things together. And so next week we'll talk about the Elijah and the open door, and we'll understand scripturally, biblically, how there is a case for Jesus fulfilling what that cup is.
And if we've piqued your interest somewhat to where you're thinking, you know, I could maybe host this at my church. He does have these materials available for you to take, to look at, to bring to your church, to pray it all up, and to plan for your own.
And I'll give everybody everything they need, from the order of service that everybody follows along to the message on Elijah and the open door. I will give you all the placemats that you need to copy. I will give you all the instructions that you need, everything that you need to be able to do your own Passover meal, to maybe navigate the minefield, because we navigated it for you, but maybe to be able to help you so that you can honor Christ and also perform this thing called a lasting ordinance, that you can keep it as the tradition that God has told you that you're supposed to keep it, but in the same token, see it in the fullness of what Christ has done. That's what we've had to do over the process of many, many years, so that we feel like now when you come in fact, we had somebody who attended one 2 years ago who's an unbeliever. They got done and they said, wow. They said, I came thinking I was going to experience a Jewish Seder meal, and I did, but I feel like I experienced Christ. And I want to know more about him. And so it was a powerful moment. So
another powerful moment awaits you. 33 days till our trip to Israel. We do have a few openings if you'd like to know more about having a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to see the biblical account, where it actually took place, to read the biblical narrative on location, to worship, to pray, to experience all of what God would do through this trip. We can give you all sorts of information. Maybe you're being called to join us. There will be some service projects and some great time together in the Holy Land. It's October 3rd through the 13th, 33 days away. Give me a call, 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. And we can always connect you with Jason on how to get these resources, how to know more about putting on your own Seder meal or being a part of the Passover at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad around Easter time. So many months away, but there's a lot of planning to pull it all together, to get the word out, to host it, to know the material, to copy it, to have it available.
Yeah. And we know how to do it for 12, for 72, for 144. So sometimes people come and say, well, it's just going to be small. Okay, this is all you need to really do. It's going to be bigger. Okay, this is the next layer of things you need to do. So, again, my wife has done so well with this that I tell people she'll give you the tracks to run on so you can do it. I would much rather you host it yourself than you come to mine, because we always have people there. And so I just want to see this thing multiply out so that we have this lasting ordinance being celebrated and commemorated.
If you need more information, call the station at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and week.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials,